This is a tale of two cities separated by a mere 11 miles, each with radically different approaches to local planning in the midst of one hell of a climate emergency. Petaluma and Novato are two cities in San Francisco's North Bay community. The region has been pummeled by a series of unprecedented enormous wildfires over the past 6 years. This past September, it included what locals call the Orange Sky Day. It was a day when the smoke from the regional wildfires was so thick that the sun was blotted out and it was dark all morning. When it did finally start to get light around noon, the sky had an apocalyptic orange hue that lingered for days. Events like the Orange Sky Day in other parts of the world, be they droughts, floods, heat waves, or other anomalous weather, are in part what has inspired nearly 2,000 governments, large and small around the world, to adopt climate emergency resolutions. Most of the cities in San Francisco's North Bay have adopted such resolutions, and that includes Novato in Marin County, that just adopted its resolution in November 2020, and Petaluma in Sonoma County, that has had theirs on the books since May 2019. If a climate emergency resolution is to mean anything or is to be taken seriously, it must mean that the government in question puts a halt to the expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure expansion within its jurisdiction. There does not appear to be universal understanding or acceptance of this basic logic, summed up pretty well by the adage, "If you're already in a hole, stop digging." On February 22, 2021, two events were juxtaposed that illuminate the stark difference in policy direction. On that night in Novato, the Planning Commission voted to approve a 28 dispenser mega gas station at an existing Costco store. If built, it will be the largest gas station in Marin County, in a location where about 10 others are already in operation. The Novato City Council subsequently approved it against a strong showing of public opposition. On that same February 19, Petaluma, the City Council voted unanimously to adopt an ordinance that permanently prohibits the construction of new gas stations within Petaluma city limits. Petaluma recognizes the climate crisis, the need for improved active and public transportation options, the changing market dynamics around gasoline and gas cars, the advances in electric vehicle technology, and state-level policy trends aiming for economic decarbonization, and wisely is planning for 2050. Novato, tragically, is still planning for 1950. In Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, themes include social justice and good versus evil. In every drop that comes out of a gasoline dispenser, there is a trail of devastation for communities and the environment around the world that leads all the way back to the point of extraction of crude oil from the ground. People and wildlife are poisoned and/or displaced by effluent and emissions from those operations. Low-income communities along rail and road waves are threatened by the hazard of oil and gas transportation. Communities of color near refineries and gas processing facilities face respiratory disorders, cancer, and death rates much higher than the national average. Indigenous communities around the world are severely impacted by pumping and pipelines. There are choices to be made at the local level that have impacts far beyond their city limits. It is high time to end this century plus of evil and injustice. Petaluma was allegedly the first city in the nation to adopt its new gas station prohibition, and work is on the way to leverage it. In Sonoma County, a grassroots group called the Coalition Opposing New Gas Stations rose up in mid-2019 in opposition to a proposed gas station, which was defeated. Since then, two other gas stations' proposals have been defeated. No one wants to spend their time battling proposals to build obsolete polluting infrastructure. So this group focuses its efforts on changing outdated 20th century rules that are still on the books in counties and cities across the U.S. that allow gas stations to be built like they are ice cream stands. The time is right for a movement to include other cities and counties across the U.S. and across the world. Local governments must plan for 2050, not 1950.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the scholar of this program is Mrs. Razia Shameli.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to your own show, A Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio. I'm Farman Ali Masumi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah. I'm here also to welcome you on this beautiful day. Thank you so much for having us, my dear listeners.
What a beautiful topic we have started in our previous episode, being thankful and being grateful, especially when a Muslim lady becomes grateful and thankful, it can attract all the happiness towards the house, you know, like a magnet attracts all the, you know, positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this, it will attract all the happiness and all the satisfaction towards you. So if you are a lady, a Muslim lady, you have to be proud that you are the core and heart and the center of a beautiful family.
Exactly, no doubt. And as a mother, as a wife, like your way of thinking, your the way you are automatically, whatever is in your heart, it comes on your tongue and in action too. Therefore, we have this beautiful three levels of gratitude. That the gratitude, maybe the simplest one, the easiest one, is to say Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, verbally, yeah.
Exactly. Like, therefore, you know, I truly love it, the way Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has incumbent on us only one surah,
yeah,
which is surah of gratitude.
Gratitude.
You know, every day.
Hamd, yeah.
Suratul Hamd. You know, we
Even
never think about that.
In the beginning of the Holy Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Such a great surah, and it starts with us such a great message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whenever
I
do.
Thankful and grateful.
Yeah. You know, whenever I do the tafsir of Quran, I say, you know, rest of the surahs of Quran 113, they are all looking with so much envy that, wow, Hamd, O chapter Hamd, you are the only surah which is wajib to recite,
yeah.
You know? So why this is wajib to recite? Because this shows the importance of gratitude, you know, like, yeah. Therefore we have to say, like, even if I'm not feeling, but still, if I say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that positivity will come.
Yeah.
And you know, nowadays, so many experts, especially about relationship, about psychology, they say, even non-Muslims, you know, it is becoming very, very trend and very common that you have to have a diary of gratitude, you know, especially for a Muslim lady. She's writing every day saying, for example, thank you so much, you know, thanking to her house, thanking to her
being
dress.
Being thankful to all the things
exactly
around you, yeah. As we say, your whatever word you utter, it has a big, big impact on the things even, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
How?
Like, you know, nowadays, I think our listeners, they know that scientists have confirmed that whatever words you utter, these words have impact in your life, in the things around you, especially the things which you speak to sometimes, yeah? For example, a laptop is in front of me, a cell mobile phone is in front of me, or something, table, or whatever is in front of me. If I speak good words with them, it has impact upon them. Like those Japanese scientists, they have showed the micro pictures of water. You know, if you say something good to water, it changes its shape. You know,
yeah,
I think we can't see with our these eyes, but a big and very, very important impact it has.
Exactly.
So being thankful,
amazing.
Being grateful.
And especially we are more than 70%, we have liquid, yeah? So when you said this, I remember the way Rasulullah, the way our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say to his wife that, why you have stopped the tasbih, the glorification of my dresses, you know, wash it. Like he would say, when you keep the things clean and tidy, and if you talk to them, then the things will do tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Wow.
The things will do dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it shows the things, you know, those are the things. But when it comes to husband and children, then the gratitude of a mother and wife will definitely, the impact will increase.
And being thankful and grateful needs some practice, you know. It is like a skill.
Okay.
You have to learn.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, how?
Unfortunately, now, as I said in our previous episode also, we learn in our daily life a lot of things, you know, to use them proper. First, we have to academically learn how to use of them, and train ourselves first, then we use those things, material things. But when it comes to our spiritual upbringing and practical life in our house, we do not consider practicing and training ourselves. So being thankful also needs a little bit training. And, you know, you have to train yourself, then you can understand. As you said, always we have to ponder these beautiful bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by using properly, we can be grateful and thankful. And verbally also, we have to make our, you know, habit. Even if you drink a small drop of water, you have to remember that this is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have to say, remind yourself that you have to be thankful. If we start being thankful for very, very small things, then it will become a habit for us. When it becomes our habit, then, you know, automatically in each and every single step of our life, we are grateful, we are thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are grateful and thankful, then what will happen? Allah will increase. La in shakartum, as Quran says, la in shakartum la azidannakum.
If you are thankful and grateful. Yeah, now we can see the impact of this ayah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then Allah will increase in the bounty which you are grateful to.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Being grateful not only makes you satisfied, but it increases in the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, I will give you one example, you know, like especially one, again, mealtime.
Sure.
Okay? So literally it has written, At-ta'imu shakir. This is hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At-ta'imu shakiru lahu min al-ajr ka ajri sa'imil muhtasab.
Wow.
Like the person who is eating food and very like enjoying and, you know, from inside, you know, truly deeply thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that person has the same reward as if that person is fasting.
You
know, I'm just eating, but my eating with shukr will become like a great ibadat of soam and fast. So even if we practice this as a Muslim lady, especially we are in the kitchen, yeah? And whenever we are cooking, we say, oh, thank you, Allah, we have everything. And automatically, you know, you are filling the house with so many energy and light
positivity
and nur and power from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And you know, the non-Muslims, usually they don't connect directly to Allah. You know, they mostly connect to things. Like they say, thanks to this day, thank you to only to rain or to sunshine, to clothes, to dishes, to food. But we are thanking to Allah that has more, you know, profound impact. We are not saying only thank you to this pen. We are saying, no, thank Allah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who has provided all these amazing, you know, stuffs and all the things and tools. Because of them, I'm, you know, able to do my daily chores, Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
So just imagine that house will turn to the heaven.
The paradise.
Yeah. Like kids will not then nagging on, you know, dining table that, mama, why did you cook this and that? You know, husband is not just, you know, taking objection and complaining that why food is not tasty. So everyone will enjoy whatever they have. And truly, dear listeners, my husband he's a very grateful person, because sometimes I say, oh, food is not that tasty, but he said, alhamdulillah, we have this food, you know, alhamdulillah, we can take strength from this food. So inshallah, I will practice more after listening to this hadith of our prophet, that الطاعم الشاكر له من الأجر كأجر الصائم. Amazing, amazing.
So eating food with shukr, with being grateful, has a great thawab and reward. Yeah, mashallah, what a beautiful hadith you have shared with our listeners and with me, definitely. And another point is, if you ponder upon these small bounties, like you know, if you have a magnifier in your hand, and if you focus upon the, you know, for example, if you are reading a book, it has a lot of pictures around it, but if you focus with the magnifier upon its text only, so you do not see around it, you know, whatever is there. So you are focusing upon only those things. So by seeing these things, you do not see your shortcomings of your life. You know what I want to say? For example, in your dining table, if you are focusing on these small bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can't see your shortcomings. Then your attention is not towards those, you know, missing things, the shortcomings, the bounties you do not have. So it will bring a great satisfaction in your life.
And automatically this is something, you know, anti-gossiping.
Yeah, gossiping.
And anti-anger shield. Definitely. You know, like we can say it's like a shield, a powerful protector.
Protection, yeah,
exactly.
Great protection. Like in backbite, regarding backbite, ahadith say, if you look at your own faults, then you cannot find faults in other people. You know, if you are always looking at your own mistakes or your own faults, then you do not have enough time to find faults and mistakes and, you know, shortcomings in other people. Likewise, if a Muslim lady in a house, she is always focusing on small bounties, small ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is grateful and thankful, then definitely it will go to her children and her whole family.
Yeah, I like the way you are saying small things. You know, sometimes for being a grateful, we are looking for big bounties.
Yeah, we are looking for always big bounties to be thankful.
Yeah.
But there are enough small bounties to make us busy in being thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is not
over. But inshallah, we are going to meet again very soon.
Very soon. Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us and for listening to a Muslim lady. Inshallah, we will see you in our next episode. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lawwam?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger to Allah. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to all. Today is the 4th of Sha'ban, the auspicious birthday anniversary of the immortal standard bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, peace be upon him. Here is what his father, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, said entrusting the newborn to the care of the immortal martyr of Karbala. O Hussein, I'm entrusting to you this child. He will represent me on the day of your supreme sacrifice and lay down his life in defending you and your dear ones, much as I would have done if alive on that day.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hello and welcome to The Light. March 22nd is a very important day, but many of us may not be aware of that. The 60-meter picture shows an Ethiopian girl carrying water. That was created ahead of the World Water Day, the international occasion falling on March 22nd. A group of artists made the landmark in northern England to raise awareness about climate change and the global water crisis.
Interspersed in the drawing is like a cracked turf to symbolise the drought that climate change will cause. And then the metaphor, if you like, is that the sea is coming in, the rising tide is the rising sea levels that we're going to face in the future.
The artwork was made in collaboration with WaterAid. That's an international NGO focusing on water, sanitation and hygiene. The project supervisors say the main goal is to raise awareness about the importance of water in children's lives. They say they also want to raise attention that how climate change is affecting people's access to water. A Crimean powerlifter has set a Russian record for pulling a giant airplane. The powerlifter managed to pull an aircraft weighing 31.5 tons. He did so over the distance of more than a meter at a military base near the city of Sevastopol. The strongman suffered serious injuries during the first attempt on Tuesday when he pulled the plane for 31 centimeters. With a fourth attempt later in the day, he pulled it to 1 meter and 12 centimeters in just 40 seconds. The record was confirmed by the representatives of the Record Book of Russia. An archaeological team has discovered new ruins in Egypt. The discovery reveals a monastic life in the country's western deserts in the 5th century. The Egyptian Antiquities Ministry says the discoveries include ruins of three churches with graffiti and symbols on walls. It says the religious inscriptions and the Greek biblical passages prove the nature of life at that time. The mission was carried out by a group of French-Norwegian archaeologists. The find offers better understanding of the development of buildings and the formation of the first monastic communities. In recent months, Egypt has announced several major archaeological discoveries, hoping to revitalize its tourism industry. School children from Spain and Portugal have been learning how to combine sports with science. They have now put their knowledge and skills to the test by racing their electric cars. The contest was held between 9 teams outside Athletic Bilbao's San Mamés Stadium. However, the goal wasn't to see who could drive the fastest. Rather, the strategy was to use their battery power as efficiently as possible. The team that completed as many laps as possible in 90 minutes was declared the winner. Driving the car too fast could quickly drain the batteries.
Apart from being fun and interesting, you can learn mechanics, electrics, and then you can compete. You learn things from the realm of engineering, more things for the future. I usually say that the electric car is the future, but others will make hybrids in order to maintain speed and design and the engine type.
The cars are powered by twin lead-acid batteries that supply 24 volts to a 240 watt electric motor. The teams don't have to build their cars from scratch because a basic kit is supplied to them. However, they have to modify the vehicle mechanically, electrically, and aerodynamically. The project started in the UK in the 1990s. It seeks to raise awareness in young people about alternative energy sources, climate change, and pollution issues. Let's go to the US, where a baby giraffe has explored his habitat at the Indianapolis Zoo for the first time. In a sunny day, Kendi playfully made his first public appearance along with his mother and the herd. The cute calf was born in November and has no siblings yet. Giraffes are native to sub-Saharan Africa, so the zookeepers only allow them to be outside when the weather is not wet or cold. Two tiny islands in South Korea have become tourist attractions by turning almost everything to purple. They are now known as Purple Islands. Banwol and Bakji Islands used to be abandoned locations with small populations of elderly people. But everything changed when residents launched a popular campaign there in 2015. Inspired by their native balloon flower, they started painting the houses, roads and bridges in different shades of purple. They planted more purple flowers on the islands and wore clothes with the same color. Restaurants on the islands also started serving purple food.
We couldn't travel overseas due to COVID-19, so we thought about a local trip instead and found these purple islands. It's amazing and looks like fairy tales and magic. As I'm seeing, the grandmas are all wearing purple clothes. It is very dreamy.
The tourists also praise the welcoming spirit of the islands, who offer a free entry to the visitors dressed in purple. The campaign has changed the island's ambience, adding liveliness and activity to the routine of its residents. It's also attracted the government support, which has invested more than $4 million to turn the islands purple. World-renowned musician Yo-Yo Ma has transferred a COVID-19 vaccine waiting room to a concert hall in the U.S. city of Pittsburgh. played the pieces after receiving a second dose of the coronavirus jab. Dozens of socially distanced people who had just received their second shot listened on at the Berkshire Community College while waiting for the 15-minute mandatory observation period to end. Yo-Yo Ma, who's a local resident, has said his performance was meant to give something back to the community.
Rations in the town of Yaryovsky mark the end of winter with a colorful Maslenitsa celebration. People dressed in costumes march in the center of the town, which lies some 170 kilometers from Moscow. After some friendly competitions, participants burn the effigy of Maslenitsa. This marks the end of winter and was believed to fertilize the soil and bring a good harvest in the upcoming autumn.
The Maslenitsa went great. We have been sitting at home for a long time because of this COVID, but now everything is fine.
Maslenitsa is celebrated during the last week before the Christian festival of Lent. It is a last chance to the upcoming weeks to eat dairies and meat which are forbidden in the upcoming fasting time. The festival began as a pagan ritual, but was later absorbed into the Russian Orthodox Christian tradition.
Now, plastic waste has become a global environmental challenge, causing frustration amongst residents as recycling isn't common everywhere. But a Filipino artist has grabbed the opportunity to turn trash into treasure. Since 2019, Gilbert has been transforming plastic waste, especially non-recyclable trash, into beautiful paintings. He has so far made over 24 artworks by scattering shredded plastic bits across his canvases. The artist also uses expired paint and leftover wood from demolished homes. Gilbert gets some of those materials from around his neighborhoods, while the rest is given to him by donators. He says he got the idea to put that waste to good use when he found out his country is one of the world's top plastic waste producers.
We are the third contributor of plastic waste into the ocean, the third in the world. When I found out about that, I had to think of ways to raise awareness and knowledge on the reasons why we contribute this much waste.
The artist's works have been displayed in famous galleries in the Philippines. They have sold for prices ranging from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars. Gilbert has also created an advocacy group called Green Arts, aimed at encouraging artists to use recycled waste for their work.
Now, the first gorilla born in the Berlin Zoo in 16 years finally has a name. The naming day was celebrated with no visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, zookeepers made the day special for the tiny Tila and her first-time mother with their favorite treats. The baby was born in mid-February. After a few weeks, the zoo received over 17,000 name suggestions for her. The low number of female firefighters across the world may indicate women's lack of interest in the job, but this female-only Brazilian firefighter crew is here to prove the opposite. The all-female team say their main goal is to empower women through the work they do. They say they are willing to prove that women can take any job that can help society. The firefighting crew started their activity just on Monday on International Women's Day. They work in southeastern Brazilian states. Although women have a variety of fire service roles in different countries, they account for less than 20% of firefighters worldwide.
China's commercial hub Shanghai is not only filled up with skyscrapers, but this cosmopolitan city has many incredible things to attract domestic and foreign tourists as well. Unofficial statistics show Shanghai is China's de facto capital of animal cafes, which are growing in terms of numbers and the variety of species that they host. There are now all kinds of animal coffee shops there. One of these venues is filled with cute furry raccoons, which sometimes tug at customers' clothes while they are served their food. In another cafe, clients can enjoy the company of outlandish reptiles as they sip hot drinks. Those who frequent these bistros say the activity helps them relax and forget the hustle and bustle of city life.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear friends, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum. May Allah's peace and salutations be upon all of you. Congratulations on this auspicious day. What date is today? Today is Thursday, is the 4th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. But what is important on this day is the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. Congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Nicknames of Hazrat Abbas. Al-Abbas was called Abul Fadl, father or owner of virtue. Some mention that he had a son called Al-Fadl. As a matter of fact, this name represents his personality completely, because he was the owner, leader, and a source of virtue. In his life, he was so open-handed, he used to distribute his virtue and charity to anyone who was directed to him. After martyrdom, he has been the shelter and refuge of everyone who seeks his help. Most surely, God relieves him who turns to him and implores to him by using Abul Fadl as his means and interceder. Al-Abbas was also called Abul Qirba, that means the owner of water skin, because he had carried water to the harem of Imam al-Hussein during the Battle of At-Taf. On the auspicious birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abbas, we offer our thousand and thousand of congratulations to all brothers and sisters in faith and humanity.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. On the fourth day of the month Sha'ban, presumably in the year 26th of the Hijra calendar, Abbas ibn Ali, another son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, was born in the city of Medina. And Abbas ibn Ali was born in the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam and received his education from his father, the first infallible Imam Ali alayhi salam, as well as his brothers, Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Husayn al-Salam. Because of this type of exceptional and graceful education he received from the three infallible Imams of his time, we find that this type of education exerted its influence in the character and career of Abul-Fazl Abbas salam Allah alayhi, such that especially in the event of Ashura, Abbas ibn Ali alayhi salam showed his courage and his staunch support in favor of his elder brother Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. At the same time, it must be indicated that One of his designations is Qamar Bani Hashim. I mean, he was analogized to moon because of his beauty for the Bani Hashim clan, for the Hashemites. At the same time, it must be indicated that Abbas in Arabic means frowning, and one of the reasons for this designation is that he was very kind to believers and he was very austere for disbelievers and those people who abused the Islamic religion. When Al-Abbas ibn Ali was born, Imam Ali alayhi salam was very happy and delighted. And at the same time, Imam Ali alayhi salam used to kiss this newborn infant's arms. And when Umm al-Banin, the mother of Al-Abbas ibn Ali, asked Imam Ali alayhi salam for the reason of his behavior, I mean that he's kissing Al-Abbas's arms, Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that someday in the future, Al-Abbas will lose his both of arms in support of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura in Karbala. And we find that Al-Abbas ibn Ali received his education in a place and in such a moral context that's really unrivaled. Because of this, we find that together with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the next personality whose name is usually mentioned in connection with the Ashura episode is no one but Al-Abbas ibn Ali. Thank you.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate الله الله Thank you for this day
Loyalty of Hazrat Abbas Loyalty is the noblest characteristic one can have. Hazrat Abbas set a record in this field when he represented all features of loyalty distinguishably. Loyalty to the religion. Hazrat Abbas was the most faithful and the best defender of his religion. When Islam had to encounter the danger of eradication by the Umayyad band, who renounced Islam completely, Al-Abbas dedicated himself to fighting on all fronts for defending his religion and raising the word of Allah on earth. Loyalty to the nation. As he noticed his nation sinking down under the gloomy nightmare of humility due to the absolute despotism of the Umayyad band, Al-Abbas understood that his mission was to proceed for saving them. Along with his brother, family members, and companions, they raised the slogan of freedom and declared holy jihad ceaselessly until they were martyred for doing so. This, in fact, is the ever most elevated loyalty to the nation, loyalty to his brother. It is incumbent upon each Muslim to swear allegiance to the Imam who lives in his time. Hence, Al-Abbas gave the best example of being faithful to the allegiance to the Imam of his time, Al-Husayn. All over history, you cannot find an item of loyalty more exalted than that of Al-Abbas to his brother and to his leader. Hence, his loyalty has become an ultimate goal that attracts every free, honest man. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam.
Let's all rejoice in it. This is the day of Eid. Let's all rejoice.
Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Abbas' devotion, respect, and affection for Imam al-Hussein was so deep that he used to worship that very ground Imam Hussein walked on. In fact, it is said that he used to apply to his eyes the dust from Imam Hussein's feet. He detested anyone taking precedence in serving Imam al-Hussein. Even as a young child, he prevented others from serving Imam Hussein. It is said that once Imam Hussein was present with his holy father, Hazrat Ali, in the mosque of Kufa, felt thirsty and asked for water from Qanbar, a well-known and obedient servant of Hazrat Ali. When Qanbar rose to bring the water, Hazrat Abbas, who was then a very young child, asked Qanbar to stop, saying that he would himself bring the water for his master. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "I bear witness, O Abbas, that you have reached the zenith of perfection in the matter of self-resignation, loyalty, and obedience."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen, Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. If someone wants to understand the concept of loyalty, the concept of nobility, the concept of al-ithar, giving priority to others over myself, the concept of al-ghira, then first we have to understand who Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was. Fourth day of Sha'ban is the birthday of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the son of Umm al-Baneen, this courageous, brave, mighty warrior who is called Qamar Bani Hashim, the moon of Bani Hashim, whose job in his entire life, he dedicated it to defending Imam al-Hussein, to defending his master Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And as we all know, in the Battle of Karbala, all the great sacrifices he made and the loyalty that he showed for Imam al-Hussein. But it's not just the day of Ashura, brothers and sisters. Usually all we hear about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is what happened Ashura. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was 40 years old or in his 40s on the day of Ashura, or close to 40. He had so many noble stances and he showed so much loyalty much before that, during the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, in the wars that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam waged against the kuffar, against the disbelievers, against the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was on the front line. And Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas used to defend Imam al-Hussein. He wouldn't let Imam al-Hussein fight as long as he is there. How could Imam al-Hussein fight when I am here? So Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas' entire life was devoted to his brother, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And especially on the day of Ashura, brothers and sisters, all the great stances that he had, all the great things that he did for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. For after all, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was born, was conceived, for the sake of Imam al-Hussein.
مولد السبط تجلى ولنا عيد عظيم ومع السبط مضينا في الصراط المستقيم.
That was all for today's special. But we continue offering our congratulations to you, dear sisters, dear brothers, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, on the anniversary of Hazrat Abbas' birthday. Congratulations and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.